Well, what?
Okay, so who would win?
Hello. Okay. Who would win between...
Hal from Hal's Moving Castle.
Yes.
And Ponyo's dad from Ponyo. Hands down, Hal.
Yeah.
But Hal post-Calcifer is a different question.
But then it depends if they're fighting in the water world or the land world. Because Ponyo's dad would have an advantage.
And I guess Hal's Moving Castle and Calcifer would not deal well with water.
Yes.
Ooh.
So you've got the environments to work with as
well. Okay, yes.
Yeah, see. Clever.
That was actually kind of clever. That's like kryptonite, isn't it? Okay, so...
What's power for one is death for the other.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Right, shall we start?
I thought that was a type of start. You can definitely use that as a cutaway.
Yeah, definitely.
For those of people who like Studio Ghibli.
So this is episode 2, right? This is episode 2. That was the 2 noise. You probably blew out the microphone making that pop.
Do you want to start again then?
No.
I apologise.
So,
episode 2.
I need my phone.
I want you to get one of those clapperboard things though.
Clapperboard?
Yes.
Yeah, but you just go 3, 2, 1, clap.
Episode 2.
But you only need to clap when you're syncing things. Can I just get geeky for a second? The reason you have clapperboards is to sync microphones with cameras.
And also to look cool.
Yeah, but this is a podcast.
Yeah, but people still want to look cool.
Do we look cool right now?
I'm currently wearing a penguin onesie.
And I'm in my dressing gown in my pants.
Episode 2, welcome. I am somewhat, I don't want to say anxious or nervous, but I have trepidation about talking about this.
Yeah, you have been nervous.
We are going to be talking about the council and the procedures that go through to be officially allowed to homeschool. I will say that this was the bit that made me consider as a mother my self-worth and my imposter syndrome and all of the things that go along with that the most. I personally feel like I'm fully in the belief that being registered as a homeschooling parent is the right and correct thing to do. Yes. I will, however, say that I had heard and had been told through networks and groups that we attend that this was the part where everything could crumble down and be smashed to pieces.
Yeah, you needed that council approval, wasn't it?
Yes, and you need it yearly, if not whenever they write to you.
And what happens if you have all these dreams about homeschooling and
yes.
then the council shoot you down?
Yes. So I'm going to start with the history of how we first contacted the council and just walk you through our experiences. Now, I know that every experience is different and everyone has different councils. And I do know that from what we hear, different councils treat this differently.
Yeah.
So all of this is just our experience, how I dealt with it. And also as... I'm not a nervous person as such, but I do feel like this was my wall, my barrier, my mental hurdle that I needed to get over.
We celebrated when we got it
because...
For you, it was a big one.
It was a big one. It was, and it's still, like, I've talked to you about how I still have worries about the form next September.
Yeah, you have, but I don't because we've learned how to do it the first time around.
We hope. It could always change.
Yeah, true. But for right now, we've been successful at this and
right
we
now.
Are council approved. And
our first letter with the council came when we had to, obviously you pre-choose a list of, is it 3 or 4 primary schools that you would like your child to attend, and then you enter some kind of lottery to win a primary school position at the school you want or don't want or really don't want.
Yeah. This was in the January.
The January.
Before the September start of what is it?
Now, because Antigone...
Registration, is it? Sorry?
Yes.
The age 5 class?
Antigone wasn't at a preschool, so we didn't have a nursery or preschool or anyone helping us with this. We did or rather I made the decision to be forward thinking and contacted the elective home education for our area and said we had made the decision not to apply for a primary school as it was our full and from point of beginning decision that we wish to homeschool our child. It always has been, as we talked about in the last podcast episode, that we decided from pre-birth that this was definitely the direction we would like.
Yes. Can I read out the email?
Please do.
So you sent this email in January to our council, and it was the official registration form for home education. You submitted it, and we had to put the child's name, child's date of birth, who the parents were, the address, and then there was a reason for deciding to home educate, and then it said, please provide one main reason. And we wrote along the lines of online schooling with homeschool college alongside one-to-one private tutors and sports lessons. Then you had to put your contact number, your email address, and then there was a question, would you like an elective home education visitor appointment? And you put, no, thank you. And you sent
because it's always important to be polite.
Yeah, of course. And then the same day, we got an email back from the council, from the elective home education administrative officer, saying, dear Jessica.
That's me.
Thank you for your email enclosing the elective home education registration form for your daughter. As she is still preschool slash nursery age at present, because we're doing this 6 months before.
Yes, the September she would have started.
Start.
Because I decided to let them know why we were not applying for a primary school.
Yeah, you were ahead of the curve. As she is still preschool slash nursery age at present, the earliest we would register her as elective home educated is from September of the year, when she would be eligible to start year R reception. There is no requirement to register before the 1st of January the following year. So after the first term of registration. So you don't have to actually register for elective home education for our council, at least, until after...
The term after their fifth birthday.
The term after Christmas. Quote, as she does not become compulsory school age until the 31st of December of that year. After which she legally must be receiving a suitable full-time education either in school or at home. Then you're asked, would you like me to add her to the list of children to be registered as elected home educated from September of that year? Yeah, there we go.
Which, of course, we replied yes.
Yeah, of course. And then it was nothing.
There was nothing until September, around the second week of September.
Can pull it up. Yeah, September the 13th.
Yes.
And you got an email.
And a letter in the post.
A letter in the post, yeah. Dear Jessica. That's you.
That's me.
A personal introductory letter has been sent to you separately by post. Attached to this email are the following documents for your information. The Elective Home Education Parents Guide, which is... county specific. The elective home education privacy notice. I think that's a GDPR thing. The letter from the school age immunisation service.
Can I pause you for a second there? I've just had a heart rate warning. I'm already getting anxious about this.
I know. You've been anxious a while about doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fine, we're doing
it. It's fine, let's talk, yeah. People need to know this.
We're doing it. A school age immunisation service letter and an elective home education parent reply form. That's the big form you got to fill out. And then it says, if you would prefer to receive these documents by post, please let us know. So that was the middle of September. And then, yes, you've got a parent's guide, GDPR.
I then replied to them saying, would it be okay? Because obviously by this point, Antigone would only have been studying for maybe 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we've been doing it for a lot longer, but an average, everyday, run-of-the-mill person would have started on the same day the other children went back to school, which is probably about the 5th of September.
Mm.
And they're getting on the 13th. Where's your evidence and all things like that? So I replied saying, please may I have, and other people in our network did the same, please may I have until the end of September to respond to this, to which we got an email saying, yes, of course, I will await your response by the end of September.
Yeah, you asked for 2 weeks to fill out the form.
I did.
The elective home education parent reply form.
And I did this not only because I wanted time to fill it out correctly and with the appropriate and checked by James responses, but also because the amount I wanted to give accurate evidence of the month that she was in and not just previous evidence from earlier within the years, which we did as well. But I wanted the home schooling company, which we use, to be able to give their report in, the monthly report on Tiggy and Tiggy's progress. Because it, one of the questions they ask, which we'll get to later, is that they want evidence of improvement, which I didn't feel I could give with 10 days worth of apparent schooling. So those are the two reasons why I asked for extra time until the end of September, which was allowed by the council. And it was actually a very nice email saying, you know, of course, I'll await your response at the end of September.
Yeah.
None of the emails we've had have been, they've been official, but none have been.
Oh yeah, we've kept it official back and it's fine. It's been great.
Yes.
Yeah. So at the end of that, that email in September, we also were given dates for drop-in sessions, which our council were putting on in the beginning of October, where you could turn up to a public library and effectively meet the elective home education.
I believe
team.
Their plan there is that if you do not want to write into them,
you
can turn up and provide evidence of your child and chat involved. Yeah. They also do write to say they would like to meet your child, but again,
yes, that's on all the
it's
forms.
on all the forms, which we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah,
we elected to do the report because
to that's do the big report.
The kind of people we are writing and report people.
Yeah, we had lots of written evidence, so we went down that option. So we haven't done any of the drop-in sessions.
No, I personally don't feel the need to.
Yeah.
But thank you for offering them. I mean, the council, thank you for offering different options. Because for people who maybe do not wish to do the electronic side of things and prefer that intimate, more sort of personal touch, I think it's good that there are options for people who would prefer to do that.
Yeah, you've got different learning styles in schools and colleges through the, this is my teacher's hat, the VARC principles.
Mm.
And you've got all of the...
It's a reason I love you.
and you've got the equivalent to be able to present your evidence that you're giving your child or children a suitable education for their age.
Yes.
And
it's in a mutual place. It's in a library, I believe, the ones that they're offering.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you didn't want to have people into your house, the council do offer different ways for them to get to know you and the education you're providing. So I do think the council deserve a tip of the hat to say well done for that.
They're giving as many
options
as
possible. Being accommodating to different people and different people's styles.
Yeah, works well. So just to run over those sort of attached documents that you get in this email, you get what's called as the Parent's Guide to Elective Home Education, which again is council specific. It's basically the policy. It's the full written
wording of the law.
Of the law and all the rest of it. So it's things like why you may choose to home educate, factors to consider before starting, the role of the council.
Again, everything's official, but nothing is so legally worded that you can't read
it. Common sense.
It's common sense. They haven't stuck in so many things that are going to blindside you. They are all written for everyday people to have an honest reaction. And some of the things in there you might not have thought about. A lot of it is very plain, simple things like you take on full responsibility for the education of your child, including costs.
Yeah. If you need to put them in for a GCSE,
yes, you're paying for it.
Yeah. So they blatantly tell you right at the beginning of all of this that that's your obligation.
So I do believe that you do need to read it.
Yeah, you do.
Because if you can't say that you're not going to read a, was it 40-page document?
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And then say
yeah.
you want to homeschool your child. You can't, have to put due diligence in research beforehand.
You are providing education to a child. I'm sure policies that are in schools around the country today.
I sat there with a cup of tea and read it in probably an hour and a half. And that was with me being the geek that I am, with a highlighter and, I hate to say it, making, you know, hyphen chat notes for you, because I enjoy this kind of thing. I am so...
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But role of the council, definition of a full-time education, as per UK law, expectations of a suitable education, and then planning for elective home education. So removing your child from school, if they've started school,
deregistering is the other term for it, if you want to Google that. We did not have to do that, and hopefully we never will. But again, that's a subject for another episode that we can maybe touch upon, because there's so many different stories behind that.
Yeah. Cost of elective home education.
I will joke that the cost is not the resources, though resources are expensive. The cost is the amount of fruit you have to buy. Honestly.
Feed the child.
My goodness.
Qualifications needed to educate your child using private tuition.
Which is what we do. Yep. And also our own education.
Yeah. Return to school and homeschool and college.
Yes.
Return to school. Help after compulsory school age. Elective home education for a child with an education healthcare plan.
So that is obviously for children with different needs. So autism, ADHD, all of the range of spectral problems. And
SPLDs.
Yes. But that could be also children with other physical disabilities as well.
Mm. Okay.
Mm. Again, just for clarity, that is not our situation.
No.
So I don't feel like I can touch upon that very much, because that isn't our situation.
Yeah,
it does also mean the higher and gifted level, though, as well. Because if your child is of special educational needs, that could also go into children who are gifted.
Yeah.
Or have speech delay, or have...
Yeah, so at this time, we don't have an education healthcare plan.
At this time, I don't believe it will ever be our area. So I don't feel I can touch upon that.
Yeah. Flexi schooling, funding for taking exams.
We do also know somebody who flexi schools, so we will touch... Yeah. Or we know two people who flexi school, so we will touch upon that as well.
Yeah, we can do that. Home education groups, further education colleges, health and well-being for children and young people. And then finally, immunisations.
Now that is a topic I want to touch on as well. We had horror stories with the school nurse.
The school age immunisation service.
I did deliberately. It was
rubbish.
An absolute
rubbish.
Okay, no, so the nurses themselves are lovely. That's not what I'm saying. The nurses are lovely.
Yes, the administrative
teams were, for our personal experience, a nightmare.
Just rubbish.
I'm not going to go further right now, other than to say...
Very briefly, they booked us in, we turned up, we turned
we,
up...
We turned off and took... James took time off work to take us.
We turned up to a booked meeting, we then got to the place... And they said... It was terrible.
It was a terrible... The place was...
It was a bit run down.
Beyond run down, it was also a clinic for people who have... drug and alcohol issues,
and they put the school bit in there.
So it wasn't the if you're thinking like a normal GP, this was not it.
No, but this is our local one. So
yes, again, but this is our personal bad experience of this.
But we turned up to a booked appointment. We got there, and then they said our appointment didn't exist. So
you went to reception, and they said they could see it on the system.
Yeah. But there was no one there to do anything to sort us out. So we waited about an hour, hour and a half, something like that. Then we ended up leaving. And bearing in mind, this place was about, what was it, like 30 miles from where we live? Because we had to go to this
one of the clinics that they put on.
For our county.
And this was the earliest one we could get. There was one closer to us, but it wasn't until December. And by that time, I'm thinking, flu, if she's going to get flu, she'll already have had it by December.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get her in early, and the nearest one early was 30 miles away.
Yeah, so basically, our booking didn't exist. We waited there for hours.
They could see it on the system.
See it on the system, but there was no one there to actually do anything for us. So we ended up leaving after all this time waiting, and then we got home, and a few days later, we had a letter through the door saying we didn't turn up to our appointment.
Correct.
And it was like, excuse me, yes we did.
Yes we did.
Anyway.
Eventually, I went through our GP and she got it at the GP.
Yeah, sorted it all out.
Yes.
All fine.
Don't be afraid to be a tiger mum.
Yes. So you get this leaflet about the school age immunisation service, which basically says it's their role to offer vaccinations to children and young people aged 4 to 16 across the county. And then
I will also say, as a sort of side note, I also went through the travel nurse, and we ended up getting an awful lot more vaccinations through the travel nurse, which was very helpful. So yeah. do talk to your GP about other ways of not having to go to what we experienced as a horrific clinic.
Yeah. And then finally, you've got the big form. It's called the Elective Home Education Parent Reply Form. And I think we need to do another episode just on this form alone. But the sort of the sections are your reason for deciding to home educate.
I think we can touch upon that in this episode, because that one's the one that people want to hear.
Yeah.
And we can do it again in the second episode for a catch up. But that one I think we need to talk about in this episode too. Anyway, moving on. The form, yes. Question one.
The form. Yeah, it's crazy long. And ours was, what was ours? Ours was about 50 pages, I think.
It was.
Off the top of my head.
But as we've touched upon, I was nervous. So I probably went overdrive. And I am a paperwork.
Successful. You were successful.
Yes, so. I am a paperwork person.
So it worked.
So, yes.
But yeah, the sections. Please explain how you know your child is making progress. Please describe the resources you are using. Though this form, it says, please describe the resources are you using.
No, have they got a mistake in it?
Yeah,
grammar's
wrong on the form.
Crumbs.
Which subject areas are covered? Generally, how much time is spent on learning? Please provide evidence of learning. Yeah, we need to go on all of that separately. But it's
yes.
Yeah, we'll be sat here for half an hour just talking about how we filled out the form.
So we did fill out the form.
So I emailed the form back to the council on the end of September, as agreed with them. I literally wrote, this is my email. Good evening. Please find attached the elective home education parent reply form for Antigone Dunlop. Daughter. If you require any further information, please do not hesitate to get in touch. Very many thanks. Best regards, James.
I then cried solidly with tension and stress and the relief of having sent it in for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I was an absolute mess of,
are we going to be council approved? Yes. Is this dream even going to happen? What
yes.
happens if we pursue the dream and the council say no? There's so many things running in your head. Do you go against the council?
6 years, you know, from the decision to have a child. This was 6 years of dream. And I know that so many people feel like this. I know that once you make that decision that you believe it is the best for your child. Mm. And that is the sole crutch of it. You don't do this for any other reason. It's not a financial gain. There are no possible reasons you could do this unless it is for the betterment of your child and family.
Yeah, agreed.
And to have that decision possibly shaken and possibly... You know, it's terrifying. It's soul destroying. It's
yeah.
So then we waited. And we waited.
No. So.
And we waited.
We got an email back. So we sent it on the 29th of September. And on the 2nd of October, we had an email back from our county's elective home education senior administrative officer. And they wrote, quote, "Dear James and Jessica, thank you for completing and returning the elective home education parent reply form together with the photographs and reports from your homeschooling college. It is helpful to have the details. We will record and assess the information. If we need anything further from you, we will be in touch." And it was interesting when I read that, because they'd mentioned specifically the photographs and the reports from the college. And I remember saying to you, that must mean that they're really important.
Yes, they are.
Because we put a lot of just photographs of what Antigone does in terms of lessons, in terms of school trips, in terms of
evidence of her work, evidence of her handwriting, evidence of her maths, evidence of projects she's done.
Visits
to Eden Project, visits to theatre,
mosques, and all of
the. No, she hadn't been
things.
To a mosque at the time. She'd only been to the temple, Hindu temple, and the cathedral, yes,
and the prayer room.
And we informed her that but
and all of these things.
Rama and Sita day for Diwali, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we put in all of these pictures and then all of her homeschooling college reports.
Yes, which is why, as I said, why I wanted to wait until the end of September, because I wanted that monthly report from somebody that isn't just me. I wanted that teacher of each of her subjects to have a say in her progress, because then it wasn't just me, it was actual,
you were backed up by a homeschooling college, stating what lessons she was doing, write-ups of all the lessons, percentage grades,
and 4 weeks worth of comment, basically.
Yeah, bearing in mind that you'd obviously been working with the college,
she'd been doing
but we gave them all those reports, and it was interesting that our thank you email back from them specifically mentioned the photographs and the report.
And it also shows that within seconds they'd looked at it.
Yes, they had scanned down.
They had scanned down and gone, okay, there's chunky enough for us to not send an instant reply.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we waited.
And waited. Anxiously.
And where am I going? Where's my email? It is this one here. And it said... Now, should I give the date? So the date was the 8th of November.
So that's a month and a week.
A month and a week later, we had an email.
I've just got another heart rate monitor thing.
Oh, God.
My heart rate's so high.
Take your watch off or relax, or do I need to go to the kitchen
Deep
and get
breaths.
Something?
The council said...
Dear Jessica and James.
That's me.
Me. Thank you for the parent reply form and photos.
Photos mentioned again.
Again, strange. Based on the information you have provided, I have recorded that you are providing a suitable education at this time. And we went... yeah, massive sigh of relief.
Massive.
I think I went to the supermarket and got a bottle of champagne.
You did.
Pretty sure I got you champagne.
You did.
And we, quote, you are providing a suitable education at this time. We did also clock the at this time statement, meaning that, it's...
We got our eye on you.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed. You're doing okay at the moment.
But again, credit where credit's due to the council. They need to keep checking.
Yeah,
they do.
Completely agree.
This is us talking out of parental fear at this point. Rather than actually... It's good that they are maintaining. Because,
yes, completely agree.
In a year's time, the world can be completely different. Everyone could be remote schooling again because there's another outbreak of... So I'm glad that they said that in some ways, but also the then clock of TikTok of all the way down to September and me panicking again. For the next time I have to make a 40-page
yes
report on our child's progress.
I know. But it was a good report, though. And
It was an adequate report that got this. Anyway, do you want to finish this email and then we'll chat again? Just so everyone knows what was said.
No, that's it. So that was sent by the elective home education visitor. So obviously the person that visits your house, if you say yes to that, is the same person that is marking your report, obviously. And then the email was sent by the elective home education administrator service, effectively, for our local council. So yes, with warning from January that we wanted to do it, and then getting all the forms in mid-September,
yes,
sending them off end of September.
Only because I requested the longer time, which I advise.
Yes, yeah, oh, gotcha. And then getting confirmation of the report the week later, and then a week and a month later getting confirmation. That was our timeline. I don't know how that compares to anyone else.
And obviously for those people who do deregister their children, their timeline will be completely different because it will happen whenever the council gets you within that year. So I can't then guarantee whether you then get one in the next academic year in the September or whether you then get one a year from when you deregistered. So I don't know if you might end up doing two in 1 year or how that works. I have no experience or read anything or any friends that have had that experience.
It's obviously worth noting that this is per child.
Yes, I imagine it is per child.
So you've got to duplicate everything.
Yes.
For each individual.
Quite.
Yeah. So that was it. We started the process. We were gosh darn nervous. But
there was tears.
We got it, yeah.
There were many tears.
But we got it.
Happy and sad and terrified.
And as of today, touch wood.
I'm touching James's head.
Touching my head. We are council approved.
We are.
To homeschool Antigone. Yeah.
And I think she's thriving.
Yeah, she is.
She's genuinely...
Well, under you, but yeah.
Thriving.
Yeah, she is.
And it's brilliant for our family. And even though I am personally terrified of these forms, I do believe in them. And I believe that through the process, we are keeping the children that could be kept off the register safe. Because though some people want to do it for privacy reasons, other people want to do it for not good reasons. And I do believe that there needs to be a certain amount of rein and checks when it comes to children.
Yeah, I agree. There is in schools, isn't there? And there should be. There should be in homeschool.
There should be.
Just that safeguarding and...
So council, our council, who I won't name for obvious reasons, but our council...
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing what you do. I am sorry that I get nervous about you. But thank you for approving us and our systems and my like of writing 40-page reports.
I'm pretty sure it was more than 40. Off the top of my head...
Yeah, but that was photos.
Yeah, off the top of my head, it was 49 pages. But yeah, so...
I am an intense woman. Tiger mum.
So coming up, we need to go over the form and how we filled it in, which got approved. I think we need to talk about
resources and sectioning and hours alignment. I think one of the things that I picked up from what they wrote is that they want evidence of improvement. They want a timetable and time allotted per subject.
Yes.
They want evidence of record keeping.
Evidence of progress.
Yes, and that involves the record keeping. So I'd like to do a section on the possible ways of record keeping and the way I record keep and the way I store work. And
because it's all done in schools.
Yes.
So why should it not be done at home?
Yes. I'd also like to talk about some of the resources I use and some of the websites I use to get my materials to do things like that. Mm.
And I think we also need to talk about the people that we see in our networks that
yes.
aren't successful.
We do have people we know in the network, and we have got copies that we can read of their letters
yeah.
that say, not even sorry, you've not made it. Yeah, it is you have 14 days to get your child into school.
Yeah.
So do listen in for the next one where we'll talk about that. I would like to end on a positive, though.
Yeah, go.
So I would like to talk about question one very quickly.
What's question one?
Question one was, why did you choose to homeschool? Why are you choosing to homeschool?
Are we talking about that now, or are we talking about we put on the form?
I'd like to very quickly talk about, just to keep it happy and not my fear of paperwork, what we wrote and why. Why homeschool? Why go through all of this paperwork mm. and everything that goes with it? Why homeschool?
So on the big form, we wrote as our official reason for deciding to home educate. This is the reason that we sent to the council that got approved. We wrote, quote, to tailor Antigone's education precisely to her higher ability.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
That was it.
That's all we wrote.
One sentence of the 40 pages that we sent in.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, 9 words.
Mm-hmm. Now there are reasons given in the paperwork that they give to you about homeschooling, and I read a lot of people who have children with different abilities, and that's why they've chosen to homeschool. School anxiety is another reason I hear a lot. Mm.
It's not
bullying, things like that. It's not a good environment. School anxiety is a big one I hear. We are not under that category.
No.
We are definitely not under that category. Our category is because we believe that we can tailor.
Because you can do better.
That's
my blunt point of view.
I believe that we can tailor the education better to Antigone. She is still highly, highly socialised. So anybody that tells you that homeschool children are not socialised, that's not the world these days. It's really not. Again, socialisation is a whole nother episode, so please keep listening. We will title all of these episodes yes. so you can find things easily depending on what your interests are. But that's this episode. That is our journey with the council approval forms. Come back and listen to us talk about each individual section of the form and have a cup of tea ready because it gets in depth.
It does. We will. How do you want to end this? This is episode 2.
I love you.
Love you too.
Thank you for glad agreeing that we can homeschool.
I'm just glad that we're doing this, Jenny.
I'm glad too, because I really, really think it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah. Better than sliced bread.
Better than sliced bread with garlic. Garlic bread.
No, it's the butter and the chocolate sprinkles
oh.
that the Dutch like to do.
So, why to homeschool? We took Antigone to the Hague.
Last week. Which is during school time.
And we took our tutors with us because we obviously had
resources.
We took our iPad with us and we still had our lessons. And we
went on a field trip to the International Criminal Court.
And she was given tours by lawyers and taught how to be a young diplomat and all things like that. We got to take photographs, or two photographs inside, which is brilliant.
Yeah. And then we ate lunch.
And then we ate lunch in the International Criminal Court.
In the staff canteen.
Yes.
next to the big security moat.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
The place is like a fortress.
Please, if you haven't found us through the Instagram, please go onto our Instagram, the Dunlops Discover, because that is where you can see all of the videos of our adventures and homeschooling in a real, real environment. Because our house is just a house. I have a lot of books, but our house is just a house. So if you want to see what real homeschooling is like with the odd adventure in the mix.
Well, you say odd, but we... get out quite a bit.
We do get out quite a bit because we homeschool.
But this, yeah, but this is realistic homeschooling.
Yes.
This isn't fantasy.
No.
Like out of reach of any other person. Like this is as realistic as it gets. This is a one income family telling this story and sharing this journey, and it's pretty much what anyone else would be realistically doing in the UK. Or any other country that's listening. And
on the Instagram, I show you some of the resources. I show you why I do the things I do. And
just have a bit of fun.
Have a bit of fun. And there's a bit of inspirational quotes in there and things like that. Because heavens knows, it's... You don't homeschool for it to be easy. It is not easy.
No.
If you want to do homeschooling and you think, oh, it's just going to be baking bread and doing the odd handwriting
getting them to sit down and do writing for half an hour,
not
and
homeschooling,
you don't have to do anything. Yeah, it's not that.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with my anxieties about this episode, because anything to do with getting approved by the council does, as I've said 600 times during this episode and will do probably again in the next episode, it's scary, but it needs to be done.
Thank you.
Yeah, listen into the next episode for our form of joy.
Yeah, and all the rest of it. Yeah.
And what we wrote.
Amazing.
And what we got approved based upon in our belief.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good night.
All day, or morning, or whenever people are listening to this.
Yeah, maybe drop us a note in the comments.
No, we've had this before. There aren't any comments.
How
on
are
the.
No comments?
On the podcast platforms, I'm not aware that there are. They have to just tell us on Instagram or whatever.
Bye.
Yeah, anyway, you do that. Enjoy. Bye.